Pete Sopcich is joining me this morning, Coalition to Stop the Tax Hike Amendment. First off, Pete, morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Good morning to yourself, Tom.
We had Quentin Folks on yesterday. He was the chairman of the Vote Yes for Fairness group. Now, Pete, here's the thing. When I start this morning, you know, one of the things that I struggle with the most is really an issue of semantics when I start looking about this, and the use of the word fair, because I have a hard time contemplating what another person says is a fair part on my part to give to the government. The term fair, I struggle with this. Am I alone?
No, you know, the issue is it's not about what's equitable and everything. It really comes down to, and I equate it with a bait and switch. Because, remember, this isn't about raising taxes on the rich. They've even said if this is implemented, they still won't have enough money. So if you don't have enough money, what they really are asking for is access to everybody's pocketbook, because they will come for us next, because they won't have enough money to pay their debt. It's just not going to be enough. So it's really a spending problem and a budgetary problem. Because they want to bait us into, well, we're going to tax the rich, and that's going to take care of all the problems, even though it's still not going to raise enough money. That comes from the governor himself. That came from the treasurer. So if they don't have enough money, what's next? Because what they're asking for in the amendment is to be able to change those tax rates on anybody, anytime, if they need to.
And it's interesting, Pete, because that's been represented in some of the material against this initiative as a divide-and-conquer technique.
Well, I think that's what it's about. And it's not a Republican-Democrat issue at all. It is about a working person issue. If somebody goes to work and does their job, they expect that, you know, the government's not going to reach into their pocket and take it. And when was the last time Illinois was their money was solid? They were just an even keel budget, and everything was going great. It's been I can't remember. It had to be before I was, you know, an adult, because we have a spending problem, and it's the you can't just keep spending your way out of this or taxing your way out of it. It's not going to work.
It's interesting. Yesterday morning, in speaking with the chairman of the Vote Yes for Fairness, and I went back to listen specifically, and it said Illinois doesn't have a spending problem. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say that before. But in any event, we have a different opinion on that, don't we? Now, here's another issue. We use the word fair. What is fair for somebody else to be contributing? It's fair that they pay more than me. If you just listen to that statement in and of itself, you know, that's envy in a lot of ways, I think. But you know what? You just talked about this. You brushed against this. I don't remember when we were financially solvent. Well, this brings another issue. You give them the right to tax you more. And I think there's a level of trust that's required to give that to the legislature, a level of trust that doesn't exist.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, you had the governor on your show a few years back, and one of the things you brought up was raising minimum wage. He didn't answer that. He skirted around it. But what he did say was the best way to grow the middle class and get people great paying jobs was to grow the economy of Illinois. Do you recall that?
I do. Matter of fact, you may remember I said, wait a second, JB, how many people do you want me to fire was my exact comeback.
Exactly. Well, I you know, I am a business owner. I have a farm. My small business, it happens to be, I have partners in it at a Subway restaurant in Gourville. The franchise had made us remodel all the Subways. People have probably noticed that. It came during a time where we've raised minimum wage. The franchise in Connecticut didn't care. Well, we're already behind the eight ball having to, you know, with minimum wage skyrocketing. So what's happened is we've had COVID, a raise in minimum wage, and do you realize, like, the top five growing states, economy and population, either have a flat tax or no tax at all. The bottom five have progressive tax. Four of the five have progressive tax. The other one is Illinois. We're losing people, one person on average every 10 minutes in Illinois. So based on what the governor said, in order to grow our economy, he said we needed to attract businesses and attract people to Illinois. We're losing one person every 10 minutes. And that's before this amendment to raise income tax. That's before.
Right.
You know, this is property taxes. We have property taxes that, you know, I'm in Johnson County. I'm the sheriff down there. We have all these retirees that have moved to the lake. They're on a fixed income. And now the treasurer says, well, I want to, you know, when the amendment opens up, it's going to open up to taxing the retirees' pension too. They can barely afford their property taxes.
Now, this is an issue that's been, you know, batted back and forth at the highest levels. I mean, there was a recent press conference on the part of the treasurer where the governor, just minutes before the press conference, had aide reach out and say, no, you're not going to be talking about that. I believe three members of the staff, I think it is, people associated with the current administration, have supported taxing retirement.
Which is going to drive more. You know, we have a lot of grandma and grandpas, fixed incomes. I saw this in Cairo where people were on fixed incomes, and then what will happen is we will have a real estate market crash once interest rates start to go back up on mortgages because people will start selling their house to leave Illinois. Southern Illinois, how many people do you know that are crossing the border to get gas, to get groceries? They're going into Paducah and Cape. Some people are moving there and driving to Illinois. And we have raised property taxes, the minimum wage, fuel tax, registration taxes, $100 on trailers. We had the Cannabis Act go into effect. All this extra revenue we've brought in, where is it?
And it's interesting, Pete, because whenever I listen to you talk, what I hear is an administration that adds insult to injury.
It comes down to whether it's a Republican. This is not a party issue. It really isn't. It comes down to, do you trust giving access to your bank account to a politician? You know, when Detroit fell, and then you hear all these crazy things about how it fell, but what really happened in Detroit was they had a high population, which required a lot of police officers, firemen, and teachers, because they had a big population, which all has pensions. But then as they started raising their taxes, property taxes, sales tax, people realized, you know, I could just move out to the suburbs of Detroit and drive into Detroit, work, and take that money back where I live out of state, or in Detroit, it was out in the suburbs. So the suburbs started to grow, but Detroit started to die. And on top of that, what was Detroit government known for? Corruption.
Right.
Unfortunately, in Illinois, if you look at it, high taxes, high property taxes, high fees, people moving out to the suburbs and corruption in Detroit, and it fell. What's happening to Illinois?
It's interesting. They talk about, and this comes from one of our listeners, the American Monument text line. Somebody says, look, we want to balance the budget on the back of billionaires. There are only 17 billionaires. While I had a moment, I just went and double-checked that with Forbes.com. And in fact, that's what it says, Illinois, 17 billionaires. And, of course, Illinois, one of two states with a billionaire governor. Now, when we look to our listeners right now, it's interesting, the ones that are listening, Illinois does have a spending problem, but specifically, what should be cut? And that is a good question. And I don't know where we would start with there. Here's another one saying, if it were truly about taxing the rich, wouldn't they have defined what is considered rich? The wording for the amendment seems arbitrary as it is now. And we've got another one. Don't forget, just listen to you talking about taxing and where's all the money going. We keep asking for money, getting it, and we don't do any better. And somebody says, don't forget about marijuana and gaming taxes. Where did the money go indeed? You know, we do have a spending problem, even no matter what anybody says. Now, it's interesting because if you're new in administration, you've only been there, you know, 2 years in office, you can say, I don't have a spending problem. I didn't cause the problem. I'm sorry, you may not have caused it, but you are still responsible for solving it. And now Pete Sopcich this morning, who is with the Coalition to Stop the Tax Hike Amendment, why do this if it doesn't solve the problem? And the problem really is self-control and being able to do math.
It's about being responsible. You have to answer to the people. If you're really working for the people, then you got to be held responsible. And I think as voters, all of us have gotten distracted by things, and we kind of forget that, you know, these politicians work for us. They really do. They work for us. So if they're spending your money, you have a right to know where that money is spent and how it's spent. And it shouldn't be, money that's spent for pork barrel projects to get more votes. It should be spent, you know, paying down the debt. and let's find something for. By this time, we used to always talk about our kids. Well, we're probably down to our great grandkids paying our debt, if it's ever going to get paid, because it's so high. But they've got to start somewhere. And in your own budget, you know, I worked for the state. I retired from the state. You know, I had those phone calls, you know, coming up in July where they said, hey, we're at the end of the budget year. We've got, you know, a couple thousand in the budget. What do you need? Well, I don't need anything. We'll find something and get two of them because we've got to spend it all.
Right.
Otherwise, we won't get the same amount next year. None of that's changed. They still do it.
Yeah. And you and I have heard the stories. Well, we bought all new office furniture, and then we just threw it out back. Because we had to spend the money. All right, so that question about this, why not, this comes from one of our listeners, Mark, this morning, why not figure out the percentage of how far over budget we are and cut that percentage across the board, every single program? You know, but when you've got the debt that we've got, pretty much, well, you basically wouldn't have any money to spend on anything for about 4 years.
But he brings up a good point, Tom. You could spread that out over 10 or 15 years. We need to get on the track. That's a really good point in the sense that you probably couldn't do it all at once, but we could start paying down some of the principal because we're not even paying that. We don't even have enough to pay the interest.
Do you think that some of this marketing has been intellectually dishonest when it comes to messaging?
It's a bait and switch. Listen, how many offshore bank accounts do you have?
None.
I don't have any.
Nope.
Now, our governor has said his family, his dad established them. And let's say they're a tax haven. I don't blame him for doing that. I don't blame him for hiring tax attorneys and accountants to save his business and family money. If I could afford it, I would do it too. But when it comes down to we're going to tax the billionaires, they're not even taxing it now. Because it's not making its way back here because they hide it in offshore bank accounts and they're able to write everything off. And you are absolutely correct. We've raised taxes before in this state several times. And, you know, if they were going to be upfront and be honest, you would say, this is what we're going to raise it this much for these people. And that's it. We did it before. Why do we need an amendment now, Tom? They didn't need an amendment last time.
Right.
But now it gives them access, one, the state retirees' pensions. They better think about that. Because once you open Pandora's box, they've got access to everything.
And that's,
they can change our Constitution.
That's I think, one of the – when I look at the messaging from our listeners and talking with other voters here in Southern Illinois, that seems to be – one of their biggest fears. Once they crack this open, I use the reference divide and conquer, what's to say when the 17 billionaires can't make the nut for the state that they won't come after everybody else, no matter where they are?
And they've already said they won't make enough. That's not, you know, somebody just conjecturing, making that up. I mean, the people that want this have said it still won't be enough. We still won't have enough money. So if you still don't have enough money, where are you going to get it from? Well, you're going to start taxing more and more people on the list. You're just going to go down. But the old bait and switch is get you in the door and get you sold on something else. And that's what's coming.
Right.
We're going to end up with something else.
Estimated general funds payable backlog as of today when the offices opened in the comptroller's office, $8,040,057,443.63. Before I let you go, Pete Sopcich is joining us this morning's Coalition to Stop the Tax Hike Amendment. Before I let you go, I did this with Quentin yesterday, and I hope that you can do the same with me this morning. Just getting some more questions here. I wanted to see if there's something we should be going forward. It's just a question coming in. If I'm not mistaken, they tried to get this constitutional amendment changed several years ago. I think it's more about control and being able to do what they want going forward, which basically just mirrored your comments. Thanks for Mary for texting that in this morning. Now, let's just imagine you're in an elevator speech. You've got the opportunity, although you and I, we're in Johnson County, we don't see a lot of elevators.
No,
and if they do, it's about the grain. I don't think we have any. But imagine now that we are in an elevator somewhere, and you've got 60 seconds to convince somebody to vote no on this fair tax or graduated tax or progressive tax. What would you say to them in 60 seconds to convince them to vote no?
I would say, over the years, you've watched the media. Neither side trusts any politician. Why in the world would you trust them now with your bank account and to let them and have no say over this? You're giving them all the say in this. Right now, we have to vote if there's going to be any kind of increase. If you vote yes on this, which you should vote no, because it would say no, you can't tax me whenever you want. You can't take the money that I've earned and take it whenever you want. If they really are upfront and honest, they're going to put it up for a vote and say, these are the people we want to tax, and this is the percentage, and this is how long it's going to be. So far, they haven't done that. It's just opening a box of worms, and I don't think we want to open that.
Pete Sopcich, he is with the Coalition to Stop the Tax Hike Amendment. The last item coming in on the American Monument text line was this morning, simply put, good interview and the explanation of fair tax amendment. I'll be voting no. Pete, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you. If I could plug real quick, we're doing that fundraiser at Subway in Goreville.
Well, let's take a second here. I want to set this up for you, Pete. Can you give me a second?
Yes, sir.
Pete, is Johnson County Sheriff. But he also, as he mentioned, small business owner. He's a big part of Johnson County, one of my favorite places on the planet, Pete. And I told Pete before we went on the interview that, you know, how did you and I not run into each other? It's because he ain't caught me yet. But, you know, here's the thing. We started this week with devastating news out of Johnson County. You and your officers were involved, and you are still trying to help some of the kids in your area overcome what happened this past weekend with the death of a number of teenagers. And one of those items is coming up very quickly.
Yeah, me and my partner's on the Subway in Goreville, and Saturday we're doing a fundraiser where all the profits will go to the six families that were affected by this tragedy. They've got funeral expenses, hospital expenses, travel expenses, and some of these families aren't that well off, and it's just sad, and the community's coming together. So anybody that's out Saturday, swing by Subway in Goreville, 100% of the profits are going to be donated to those six families.
You also posted on Facebook, I'm a follower, Pete, that you had received a call from the Illinois Department of Public Health. You posted that over the weekend.
I did. Other sheriffs in another county called and asked if I had talked to them yet, and they hadn't, and then I ended up getting a call from them. And the question they asked me is if we were going to enforce the governor's rules. And my question, and I asked back, how do you want me to enforce those? And what rules? I mean, how? What's the mechanism? And they repeatedly replied, I just need to know if you're going to enforce them. And I said, I'm asking you how and what. And they could not answer that. And I did ask, well, you know, the state police work for the governor's office. What are they doing? Of course, I already know because I know a lot of the state troopers. And they said, oh, we're not asking the state police. We're not asking that. They couldn't tell me anything. But, you know, the bottom line is when we're out and about, you know, wear your mask. You know, respect people. I'm a person that I don't like you in my private space anyway, and I think a lot of law enforcement are that way.
Right.
So I'm used to keeping 6 feet apart from people anyway. And it's just go out and respect people. If you go into a business, they want you to wear the mask, wear the mask. You know, I don't think it's asking that much. If we all respect each other, but at the same time, if you go out and you're scared and you're worried about getting sick, stay out of big public gatherings. You know, order your food online and pick it up in the parking lot. You know, we have to respect each other's wishes. And I think we've kind of gotten away from that a little bit. And let's just all get along and care about each other, because it'll be a much, much better world.